John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Yes, who is ready? You can do in this church. Our preferred versions are New King James Version or New Living Translation, or in some cases, Amplified. So for now, you can do New King James or New Living. Who would like to read? John 8, 31 to 32. Sister Pink. John 8, 31 to 32. Tell us which version and read.
It's NLT.
Okay, go for it.
Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you are remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Amen. Let's have it from New King James Version, and then I will break it down. John 8, 31, 32. Please pay attention as you are reading. Let me go to you. I'll come back to you another time, brother. John 8, 31, 32, New King James Version.
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed."
If you abide in my word, then you are my what? Disciples indeed. What did New Living say again? If you remain what? Faithful. To be a true disciple of Jesus, yeah? You don't become a true disciple of Jesus because you came to church and you belong to a church and you sit in church. Yeah, it's a good step. Amen? It's what? It's a good step than sitting at home on a Sunday. Yeah? It's a good step. However, that's not all it takes. You have to abide in this word. And in case you didn't understand that, you have to remain what? Faithful to his teachings. That's how you become a true what? Disciple. It's like, you know, you went to Twitter and you have many followers. Some of those followers, you don't even know them. Yeah? You know some people like on Twitter, or they change the name now, I think. They change the name to one funny name. X. Anyway, I'm not on Twitter. Okay. But you can be on Twitter. I'm not saying you can't be on Twitter. Don't misunderstand. But you can be on Twitter and have 10,000 followers. Yeah? And then you just give one wrong tweet. And they will all unfollow you and you have 100 followers. That's not disciples. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who have committed themselves. Yeah? And how do you know they've committed themselves? They are remaining faithful to his what? Is teaching. Or another way of saying that they are abiding in his word. Now, read for me again verse 32. I want you to understand that the foundation of verse 32 is verse 31. Many times we quote verse 32, yeah, as though it was separate from 31. No, it's the same instruction. It's building something. And I will explain that to you. Read 32 again.
"And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Question. How do you know the truth? Just looking at verse 31 and 32. "And you shall what? Know the truth." How? Remember growing up and people quoting that, "Oh, say the truth and the truth will set you free." That's not what he's saying. Yes? How do you know the truth? According to verse 31 and 32. Is there? Anybody bold enough? You have to look at verse 31. That's the answer. That's what the answer is. What? If you what?
If you continue
in his word. You will not know the truth if you don't continue in his word. Look, the truth, yeah, is not something you just know from top layer. It's revelation. It's when the word of God opens up to you. But that means you spend some time, yeah, continuing in it. And not just continuing. You see, to continue his word, your heart must be open. If your heart is closed, yeah, the word of God will be like the seed that was thrown and it fell by the wayside. It's not penetrating because the heart is closed. And what will the devil do? He will come, yeah? The moment you are walking out of church, he's taking it. But if you continue his word, yeah, your eyes will open. The word will come alive. That's what it means. When you continue his word, it will come alive in you. It goes, it's beyond head knowledge. Head knowledge is good, it's a good start. Yeah? If you know the Bible, yeah? In your head, you are better than the person that doesn't know the Bible. Am I correct? But that's not the truth. That's not knowing the truth. Knowing the truth is a heart matter. What is the truth? It's a heart matter. It's in here that you need to know to have that truth. Because truth is something you live by. Truth is not just about argument. It's a life. You live it. That's why Jesus said, I am what? The way. And what? It's a life. It's a life. It's a living. It's a lifestyle. Hallelujah. So as you continue in this word, you will know the truth. And what will the truth do for you when you know the truth? What will it do? It will what? Read your version. Verse 32. Yes, 32 again. John 8:32.
And you will know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth will set you free.
Good. But I tell you that it's even deeper than that. So let's go to King James. I know you like King James. King James is very original. It's just that sometimes it can be too concentrated. But if you have a good teacher, they will break it down so that you get the full package. No dilution. Yes, go for it.
And you shall know the truth.
And you shall know the truth. And if you continue in his word, it is a guarantee. If you continue, because shall is a very strong word. Mm. It's a thou shall. That is, you are under compulsion. When you continue his word, you shall know. If I can continue his word, I will enter truth. Hallelujah. It will happen. Then what will the truth do for me?
The truth shall make you free.
It will not just set you free. It will what? Make you free. Question. What is the difference between being set free and being made free? Yes, who is ready? I like to help you because I know that one of the ways to, you know, enter understanding is, you know, to engage. Yes, what's the difference between being the truth setting me free and the truth making me free? Are they the same? Can they be different? Yes.
Is making more not forceful? Do you know what I mean? But it's more like powerful.
More powerful. Making is more powerful. Can someone be set free and not be truly free? Is it possible? Any scenario where someone is set free, but they are not experiencing the freedom. So, for example, yeah, someone is in prison. You remember it was in the Bible, Peter, an angel went to release him from prison. Prison doors are open. Yeah, he has been what? Set free. Well, he could choose to remain there. And in fact, actually, if you read the story, and I stand to be corrected, you can cross-check it. He did not make any move. On the danger to the call. Yeah? He was too shocked by the experience. So, many people are set free, but they are not living free. Hallelujah? Jesus came to set you free. Do you believe that? But you have many believers that are still in bondage. Hello? You are a believer in Christ. Christ died for you. He paid the price to set you free from sin, from sickness, disease, Satan, oppression, all the works of darkness. You know, the other day I asked the question, I said, what's the greatest problem in the world? Yeah? And we said, it's not suffering, it's sin. Because it's sin that opens the door for every other thing. When God created the world, you see, there's a statement in Genesis that's so powerful. Genesis 1. Bible says, first day, God saw to it that it was good. When you read it, it says God saw that it was good, but I'm adding that to for effect. God saw to it that it was what? Good. Day two, God saw that it was good. Day three, God saw that it was good. Day four, then after day six, after he'd done everything day six, you know what Bible records? He said God saw that it was very good. And God rested. Get the story. God ensured that everything was very good. Made man, put him into paradise. Yeah, as his home. The whole world was Adam's garden. You like to be Adam. Paradise, Garden of Eden was his home. Then the whole world is what? Is his garden for exploration. And then God rested. Are you with me? But when sin came, sin undid the good works. Amen? So you're in Christ. Christ came to pay the price for our sin. You're welcome. Christ came to pay this price for our sin. So technically, if you are in Christ, the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, what is he? He's a new creation. The whole things are passed away. And the new has come. That is the legal position. But it may not be your experience. Hello? Hallelujah? It may not be your experience. So that's the difference between being set free and being what? Being made free. I don't want just to be set free. I want to experience the freedom. I don't want sin to dominate me. I don't want sickness to dominate me or disease. I don't want Satan to dominate me. I don't want the flesh to dominate me. The key is that if I'm going to enter that, I need to know the truth. And it's not head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. And it comes by continuing in His word. How do you continue in God's word? How can you continue? John 8:31, if you continue in my word, you are my true disciples, and you shall know. See, it's like, this will lead to this, and this will lead to this. How do you continue His word? What can you do to continue His word? Anybody? Come on. If I want to continue in God's word, what are some of the things I should be doing?
Simply read the word.
Yes.
Study the word.
Yes, that's okay. Let's try someone else. That's good. That's the start. If you're not going to read the word... You know, I met someone before. He said, "Like, I just struggle when I read the Bible. I don't understand it." I say, "I talk like this. My Bible, like, don't talk like that." I say, "You have a spiritual problem. If you're a Christian and you read the Bible and you don't understand it, and because of that you don't read the Bible, you have what? It's like a child that is not feeding. Imagine you have a baby that is not feeding. Will you wait till 1 week? You will." Hospital. Okay, baby's fine, talking, kicking, but not feeding. Will you wait? I mean, how long will you wait for? Tell me the nursing view. How many days or how long will you wait that a baby has not all the food? They're not interested. They're not feeding. What are you gonna? How long will you wait before you cry for help?
Maybe 24 hours.
24 hours. Amen. So the same way spiritually, if you can't read the Bible, you really don't understand yet. You can't connect with the Bible. It's a problem. Because man shall know what? Live by bread alone, but by every word. So reading, ability to read the Bible and study the Bible is the journey. Yes, more? How do you continue this word? There's more? That's a good start, but that's not all. Yes?
Trying to implement the word in your own life.
Yes. Please put your hands together for this brother. I like that answer. Faith without word. Corresponding actions is there. It never happened. Hallelujah. Continuing what means you know it and you put it into practice. Then, by the way, when you're doing that, you have not yet known the truth. You're only continuing in this word. But as you take the word of God comes to you and you practice it, you're continuing that word. You will know what? The truth. You will see it working. Hallelujah. And your faith will deepen. Hallelujah. You see, for your faith to deepen, all you just need to do is practice the word. Just practice it. You say, God, if you can show me a miracle, I will believe. No, just take what He has told you. Miracles are packaged in instructions. Hallelujah. If you want a miracle in your life, God will come across to you by word. And instruction. He told Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian general. He said, go and wash in the Jordan. How many times? 7 times. Naaman said, oh, what do you mean? We have better rivers in Syria. And he was not going to do it. There will be no miracle. And someone told him, what's the big deal? This is the Jordan here. It's just to wash. Go and just follow. Then he did it, and the seventh time, in fact, the sixth time he did it, he was still a leper. The seventh time, when he had obeyed that instruction fully, he saw a miracle. That's what it means to continue. When you practice it, then you will know what? The truth. And what will the truth do? It will make you free. Say with me. Say, I'm already set free. By Jesus. On the cross. Already a fact. If you are a believer in Christ, he paid that price, for you. I'm set free. But you understand that if you don't know the truth, you may not walk in that freedom. That's what the difference between being set free and being made free. So knowing the truth is a functional thing. It's a daily thing. I walk in the freedom of Christ in proportion to the truth of the word that I know. And I will not know the truth if I don't practice the word. You have to practice it. Hallelujah. You have to do what? You have to practice it. If you want to trust God, yeah, you are going to take some chances with God. Hello? Let me try to say that again. If I say I'm trusting God, yeah, and I want everything to be perfect before I make any move, I will not experience God. Hallelujah. If I want God to heal me, you know, sometimes you wake up, yeah, in the morning and you're not feeling like 100%. Yeah, you pray. Then what you do? You step out, believing that God, you know, will meet you halfway. And He does. But if you just sit back and you don't step out, you may not experience God meeting you halfway. Are you with me? That's how faith works. Yeah? You will act on what God has said, and then you will see what God can do. Amen? God will never ask you to do what you can't do. Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them, tell them, say, God will never ask you. Say, God is so righteous and so holy that He will never ask you to do what is impossible for you to do. Amen. But listen, He can ask you to do what is difficult. Amen. I didn't say, please don't mishear me. I didn't say we always ask you what is easy. Yeah? It may be difficult, but it is doable. Hallelujah. It is what? It is doable, but it may be difficult. Yeah? Sometimes doing the will of God, you may cry. But God will never change you. He got to do something, He has something better. Hallelujah. God is not a thief. He will not rob you. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? From above. Hallelujah. Every good and perfect gift, where does it come from? Now remember, I didn't say every good gift alone. The devil can give you some good gifts, but those gifts will enslave you. Are you with me? Yeah? Someone say, I like to be popular. I didn't say you should say it. I said somebody said so. Don't say that. You know why? The worst temptation recorded, or one of the greatest temptations Satan gave Jesus, was to offer Him popularity. Hello? As in, Satan's master card in tempting Jesus was popularity. I will give you all the kingdoms of this world if you can only bow. So that tells me that is his master card. So if you want to watch out with them, watch out. Hallelujah. Yeah? Let God lift you up. Amen? He's God. Yeah? It's God that lifts you. Bible says, humble yourself. And what? He will lift you. And when God lifts you up, yeah, you will enjoy for a long time. And you will be for His glory. But you see, when you are chasing it, you can be entrapped. Yeah? Satan can entrap you. And when Satan entraps you, he's wicked. His goal always is to destroy. Hallelujah. And we don't want to open a door for the devil. Say, I refuse to open a door for the devil in my life. Hallelujah. And where I've opened doors, say, where I've opened doors in the past, I renounce Satan and I close those doors in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now open your Bible to Ephesians 6. Let's go a bit into a deeper now into the topic, and you will see why I started with truth. Ephesians 6:14. Let's have a young person. Ephesians 6:14. Young person was not read today during the sermon. Ephesians 6:14. Yes, thank you. I like young people. I like to feel young. Am I young? Absolutely. Thank you. You are young too. Ephesians 6:14. Yes, go for it.
Stand your ground. putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Amen.
Okay, so what's the first piece of the armor of God that you need to put on? The first piece of God's armor is what? Is what? Sharon, check it. Verse 14. What was the first piece?
The belt of truth.
The belt of what? Of truth. Now, to help you, let's look at some other versions. So what version was that? Okay, good. Thank you. So I just want to take you deeper. So King James Version or Amplified, Ephesians 6:14.
Right, that's King James Version. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put...
Having what?
Grid.
Guarded. You've guarded what? Your waist with truth. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard the phrase, guard up your loins? It's an old English. Guard up your loins. No? Okay. Have you ever heard the phrase, sit tight? Yeah? Sit tight. Yeah, you've heard that one. Yes. What other phrase can I do? Guard up your loins. How can I explain it? What other phrase, you know, can be more than to say, guard up your loins? Or, sorry? Say that again.
Prepare yourself.
So you guard up your loins. So the way I would explain it, like in the old times, yeah, when people wore clothes, yeah, they wore more of garments. The older clothes in the older times. So even male, female, they had their garments. So they were more like, it's not like trouser. It's like, I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, free flowing. Yeah. So now imagine that you want to run the 100 meters sprint. And you're wearing a free-flowing gown. What will be the effect? Sorry? You can what?
Trip.
You can trip on yourself. No external force. You trip on yourself. More. That's right. More. Free-flowing gown. Usain Bolt. Running Olympics with the free going. What are the risks? Yeah? You fought? Yes. Sorry? Agility is really impeded. You can't be agile, yeah, when your garments are loose. You get that? So, guard up your loins means, so basically in those days, yeah, if they have to fight, they will tie up, they have a way to tie everything. So, Sharon understands me. They will tie everything up so that everything is firm solid. Have you ever seen sumo wrestlers, the way they take their garments and tie it. That's what it means to guard up your loins. Yeah? So it's more than a belt. The belt of truth, yeah, is good, but it's deeper, it's guard. Yeah? Guard your waist or guard your loins. Yeah? Tie, put it in place, be firm. Be ready for action or prepare. Actually, the word is prepare. So if you are going to enter battle, yeah, against the devil in any part of your life and prevail, you need to what? You need to be prepared. What will prepare you? Truth. Hallelujah. Truth helps you to achieve maximum agility spiritually. Yeah? You will not trip on yourself if you are building on truth. Hallelujah. But when you are building on every wind of false doctrine, when you are building on shallow beliefs, look, I tell you something here. It's not even Satan that will trip you. You will trip yourself. Hello? If you are not guarded, imagine like you have no belt and your trouser is loose and you are rolling. What will happen? It will come down. Then what will happen? You will... yourself down. Amen? Because you're not guarded. Hallelujah. In fact, sometimes even the anxiety it will cause you will slow you down. Hallelujah. So, if I want to enter battle and overcome, my first step is to be well founded in truth. What is truth? Open your Bible to John 17. John 17, verse 17. Let's have it. John 17:17. What is what? truth? That was the question that Pilate asked Jesus. What is truth? Yes, John 17:17. Let me know if you want to read it. Yes, John 17:17.
New King James Version. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth.
Amen. Sanctify them by what? And what is truth? That's why if you continue my word, you shall know the truth. And what will the truth do? It will make you. It will what? Make. The difference between set and make is that set is legal position. Make is the vital position. When I say vital, that's you experience it. It's not just what Jesus did. You yourself will know that you are indeed what? Free. You know? Free indeed. Not just free by confession, but free by experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the word of God is truth. So, the question I'm asking myself is, how do I guard up myself with truth? Basically, I've not started, overcoming Satan in warfare if I'm not guarded in truth. Yeah? You can be binding and losing, but you'll be tripping up. Yeah? You will trip yourself up. Yeah? You'll be blaming Satan. But it's because you yourself, you are not guarded in truth. Hallelujah. So that's where we start from. We start from truth. What is truth? It's the word of God. Yeah? So let me now try to break it down for you to show you how you can guard yourself up in truth. Open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Young people, are you with me? I need another young person. A young man this time around. Oh, she's looking so peaceful. 2 Timothy 3:16. He's following your Bible. Tell us which version.
New Living Translation.
New Living. Go for it.
All scripture is inspired by God.
All. I mean, how much? All scripture is inspired by God. Continue.
And is useful to teach us what is true.
Wait. What's the second point? All scripture is useful. Say with me, say all scripture.
All scripture
is useful. There is no part of your Bible. There is no statement in your Bible that is useless. You are making a big mistake to your own disadvantage to ignore any part of the Bible. Even Jesus said, not a dot or a tittle will pass without being fulfilled. All scripture is useful. And it means that if I'm ignoring part of the Bible, because I don't need that, doesn't apply to me, you are losing something. It's causing you a disadvantage in the battle. All scripture is useful. Now, that's guarding yourself. Yeah? Embracing all. Not pick and choose. Not your preferred area. You go to a whole year, and all they're going to teach you is faith. Faith is important. Don't misunderstand me. The Bible says that the just shall live by what? Faith. But is that all you need? The Bible says there are three things that abide. What? Faith. And what? And hope. And what? And love. And which of them is greatest? Love. But even you cannot focus on love alone. Earlier, because love and faith work together. Hallelujah. You need all scripture. All scripture. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Is that all? And what? Joy and peace. So say, all I want in my life is love, joy, and peace. What about patience? Imagine you are enjoying your love, joy, and peace. Then somebody comes and irritates you. They will all just fly away if you don't have patience. Amen? But if you have patience, you are able to maintain your love and joy and peace in the face of provocation. But without patience, everything goes down the drain. Hallelujah? So truth is sound doctrine. Everything in the word, all scripture. Now, What's the benefit of truth? Go on. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for what? Listen to the usefulness of the scripture. Listen.
To teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives.
Let me ask somebody who has to listen. What is the usefulness of scripture according to what he has read? Check your Bible. New Living Translation. The first two uses of scripture are what? Come on. Someone who has not spoken. Anybody who has not spoken. Let me engage. For what?
Correction.
It's useful for correction. Yes, more. Check your Bible. Is this for what? Which one comes first, actually? Please, let's follow. Please go to King James now. I need some structure. Go to King James. I want to show you order. Yeah? So, yes?
Doctrine.
So, what is the first use of scripture? Check your Bible. What's the first use of scripture? New King James or New King James? Switch. What's the first use of scripture?
Profitable for doctrine.
For doctrine! You see, if you're new to this church, you get a lot of teaching. Teaching will take you deep. Hallelujah. The ambition in this church is, I don't want you to be a shallow believer. I want to know God for real and for deep. The reason. What someone say? What's the reason? So that the truth will make you what? Free. I want you to walk in the fullness of everything God has for your life. I want you to be in a place where Satan is actually, no matter how much you confess that the devil is under your feet. If you don't know the truth, yeah, he will deal with you. If that's not the case, Ephesians 6 will not be in the Bible. Are you with me? If Satan cannot deal with you, Ephesians 6, we should just remove it and tear it away. You don't need any ammo. After all, the devil is under your feet, isn't it? Hallelujah. You are in Christ. Am I right? And where is the devil? He's under the feet of Christ. So the devil is under your feet. Yeah? That's the legal position. But if you don't know the truth, yeah, the devil will sit on your head. Hallelujah. So the reason why we go deep in teaching is so that you can know the truth. So that the truth can make you free. So what is the first use? Let me ask someone else. I know you like the King James Version. What is the first use of scripture in your life?
It's for doctrine.
For doctrine! Let me now ask a question. What is doctrine? Check Google. What is doctrine?
It's a code of conduct.
You're welcome. Yeah?
Code of conduct.
Sorry, I missed that. Code of conduct, okay? You tried, but that's not what I want, but you tried. Yeah.
Expected principles and way of behavior.
Way of behavior? There's nothing I can do. The Sony connection is still in you. She has affirmed you and I accept. more. I accept now. The way she said it brings it out, but it's the same thing she said in a different way, yes?
It's means of dictating the way that you think about things.
The way you think about things. Or the way you go about things. The way of behavior. Doctrine is, your belief system and your value system. Yeah? In fact, your value system really is your belief system. If you tell me that something is your value, it's also your belief. So someone says, I don't believe anything. They're lying. Anything they value is the product of their inner beliefs. Yes? Doctrine. Any other person? Doctrine? I saw your hand. I saw your hand at the back. Yeah, so let's just stop it there. Doctrine. Someone said teaching. Who said teaching? Yes, that, I take that to teaching. So doctrine, yeah, is that when you engage with the Word of God, it teaches you a way of life, a way to live. That's doctrine. Okay, check Google for me. Let me get any other. Check the meaning of doctrine. Let's just find a formal definition. Let me see how we're doing with time. Okay. Sorry, yes? Let me just take your definitions. Yeah. What is doctrine? Because all scripture is profitable for what? Doctrine. Yes?
A belief or self-beliefs held and taught by a church, political party, or other group.
A belief or set of beliefs taught by a church. Yes? Continue.
And the other definition is a stated principle of government policy, mainly in foreign or military affairs.
Yeah. So doctrines is principles, values that we hold on to based on the word of God. Another, let me go to young man. Read it from New Living now. Let me link it. Just verse 16. Follow, and I will explain to you doctrine in New Living language. Continue.
All scripture is inspired by God.
Yes.
And is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives.
That's doctrine. Hello? Doctrine. Yeah? Is instructive. There are Christians that don't like to be instructed at all. They want to be free to do as they like. You know what they lack? What do they lack? What do they lack? Doctrine. You know the cost of lacking doctrine? They will not be thoroughly equipped. Huh? They will be tripping out. When the devil just shout like this, they will trip themselves because they are not guarded. Yeah? They want to fight the devil. Yeah, get you ready. Then they will land on their own garment and trip up. Yeah, have you ever watched clowns? Yeah? Clowns can do that for you. Hallelujah. Same with me, say, I need doctrine. Hallelujah. Doctrine guards you up. Yeah? It secures you. It's like you tightened your seatbelt. Doctrine. Amen? When you tighten your seatbelt, what is it doing? It's holding you in place so that if there's any sudden impact, you will not be flying through the roof. Hallelujah. The scripture is, it is his job is to instruct you how to live your life. Hallelujah. The scripture is not there to serve you. The scripture is there to instruct you. You cannot suggest anything to God that he doesn't know before. Are you with me? If you are saying something to God, you are just having a conversation because he's a father. He wants to hear you, but you know he's perfect. You know before you thought about it, he knew. Amen? There's no thought you've ever thought. God could think ahead. It's just like when you have children, yeah? You know sometimes you can think ahead of them. You can think what they are about to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I'm always in a better place, yeah? If I can hear God and follow what he's telling me. He's perfect. Hello? If God tells me in his word to do something or live in a particular way, it's for my best good. Sorry, I like to say it that way. It's for my best what? Good. Nothing can be better. Now, when you go another way, it can work for you in the short term. Yeah? It takes time before the evil in the package unfolds. But by that time, you are so much invested in it. Yeah? It's difficult to pull out. So, say, I need doctrine. See, doctrine is there to safeguard me from evil. Hallelujah. You see, so what doctrine will do for you is that it will help you not even, there are some problems you will not even experience. Hallelujah. For example, if we teach you very firmly in doctrine that you should not visit a spiritualist, like those who do divination, or another way of saying like palm reading, or what they call it, tarot reading, or what? Psychic. That's the one I need. That's the very one I'm looking for. Yeah? You don't even know the meaning of psychic. You've never encountered the situation, but you go to each other and they've taught you very clearly. Don't. I remember a session with somebody, and that person is here right now. They will know what I'm about to say. Yeah? They were walking somewhere in the past when they were younger, and something went missing. So they said, the boss said they're going to take them all to a witch doctor, which is technically a diviner or a psychic. they're just modern names for the same thing. And so the witch doctor will help them find out who actually stole what was missing. Hallelujah. But doctrine in her life already, she already understood enough doctrine to understand that she doesn't want to be part of that. You don't need that to prove your innocence. Because the moment you go there and they give you something, yeah, you, by taking that thing, you give consent for a evil spirit to walk in your life. You see her? So she said she's not going. I said they can remember. I tend to remember things a lot. Amen? That's doctrine. Hallelujah. So in doctrine, for example, our teaching Jesus say, you don't want to mess. You don't want to visit a psyche. Because the Bible says you should not consort with those who have familiar spirit. You don't need to have experienced it before. There are some things that, yeah, you don't need to experience before you learn. Experience can be costly. Someone said experience is the best teacher. But I don't agree. Do you know why? Experience can be costly. You know the best teacher? The Holy Spirit. So when he says the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. Do you agree with me? Yeah? And of course, the Holy Spirit teaches you the Word of God. Yeah? He does. In fact, the Holy Spirit, as is defined in the Bible, he will never teach you anything of his own. He will only teach you what Jesus has said. Hallelujah. He's permanently subservient to Jesus. That's harmony. There's no harmony without submission. What did I say? There is no. You want harmony? There will have to be what? Submission. Hallelujah. So coming back to all scripture. Yes, let's go back to 2 Timothy 3:16-17. We are looking at the armor of God, where we're looking at one, the first element there, which is the belt, or we said, you know, the girdle, yeah, of truth. Yeah? And that guard is beyond just, you know, wearing a guard. We're talking about guarding up your loins. Yeah? Tying your clothes tight so that you can be fully agile. Yeah? And we said that guardrail is, that's what truth will do for you. It will firm you up. Remove all the loose ends that can trip you up or slow you down. Hallelujah. So let's go back to 2 Timothy 3:16. And just read it. I'll come back to you, young man. But just switching between two versions. Go for it. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17.
Okay.
And it is profitable for doctrine. Yes, now we want to progress. Continue.
Okay. Do you want me to 17?
No, keep reading. For doctrine, then continue.
For reproof.
For what?
Reproof.
What is reproof? If you don't know, check Google. What is reproof? Come on, check the meaning. This is, sometimes, just checking meanings can make a difference in your understanding of the Bible. What is, it's profitable for doctrine. For reproof. What is reproof? Check the meaning. Don't let the young people beat you to it. Just check. Yeah, what is reproof? Who has been quiet? Check now. Check your phone. That's smartphone. Yeah?
Does it mean like a scolding or a rebuke?
Mm-hmm. Scolding, rebuke, reproof. Yes? Take that. Any other shade of meaning? Reproof. Say? Criticism for a fault. Yes? Any other one? Any other? Do you have anything that varies? Okay. Sorry?
Disapprove.
Reprove. So reprove is like what? Rebuke. If I'm a believer, yeah, I don't want to be rebuked. I have a big problem. My ego is so big. You know, we have this thing called ego. They are actually balloons. That's a pin. They will pop. And they'll be nursing the wound for a long time. Yeah? Part of my being established in truth, yeah, as a guardian, as guardian of my life, is that I can be what? Rebuked. Like, I am saying that I'm a pastor. If you've been in church for a long while, I've taught you things. If you see me violating the word of God I taught you, come to me and say, what is wrong with you, pastor? He's on my good. Hello? Pastor, what are you doing? Did the Bible tell you that? It's good for you. It will save somebody's life. Save somebody's eternity. Hallelujah. The fact Look, for example, Apostle Peter, yeah? One moment, Jesus was like, who do men say that I am? He was like, you are Christ. And some said, you are Moses, Elijah. But he said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commended him and said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Holy Spirit. And he felt super spiritual. He felt anointed. Yeah? Not long after, Jesus says to him, Peter and disciples, I'm going to the cross and I will die and be crucified. And Peter took him and began to, the Bible actually says he began to rebuke Jesus. But this is wrong rebuking this time, yeah? That you are not going, God forbid. He's like, be quiet, how can you say that thing? Don't say it. And what did Jesus do? He rebuked him. Why did he rebuke him? Do you remember? What? What did he tell Peter?
Get behind me, Satan.
You mean like he called Peter Satan?
No. Get behind me, Satan.
Yes, but who was he talking to?
He was talking to the spirit, but not...
Yeah, but physically speaking, who was he talking to?
To Peter.
Thank you. I know you're giving me two dimensions. Amen. Of course, he was talking to the spirit. But you understand, when spirit wants to operate, they operate through a human being. Hello? If an evil spirit wants to cause commotion now in the family or in the home or in the workplace, he needs a human being. Anyone, even Christians, even believers can be used. Anybody that opened the door, he doesn't even want to know your faith or your creed. If you open the door, they will quickly take advantage and do what they have to do to you. Before you know it, they finish. There's chaos. So Jesus rebuked him. Yeah? He was actually speaking to both. Sister, he was speaking to Satan, but he was also rebuking Peter for allowing Satan to speak through him. Amen. And that is for Peter's good. Because if they quickly rebuke him, Peter will start cursing Jesus. Amen. So scripture is profitable for what? Rebuke. But of course, we don't want to go around rebuking people all the time. Rebuke is something you do very occasionally. When something is, quite extreme. Yeah? Rebuke is not what you do every time. It must be occasional. If it's not occasional, then there's a problem. It must be exceptional. Not all the time. So next one. What scripture profitable for? Somebody who has not spoken in the sermon. You've been too quiet. Who has been too quiet today? Let me look around. Yes? Okay, yes, I know. What else is scripture portable for? You need to check 2 Timothy 3:16, New King James. Okay, while you're doing that,
For training in righteousness.
For training! Let me see how King James puts it, because that's ESV, for training. But take note, keep in mind, training, yes? 16. Yes, just read the other one, 2 Timothy 3:16.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction.
For what? For correction. I want you to understand that you will never be trained if you cannot take correction. You will never. It's impossible. Hallelujah. The reason is that when you receive instruction, just because of your human nature, you can't master it first time. You can master it in your head. Some people have very good brain. They can memorize everything. Some people pass exams just because they can do total recall. Their brain is photographic. To me, that's not brilliance. It's just sharpness of memory. Yeah? Brilliance is what you can do with your brain, not just recall. Okay? But it's still good. If you have a very sharp brain that you can remember everything, you just look at it like this and you remember everything. Very good. Well done. Yeah? Well done. But that doesn't mean you are trained. Because now, it's about now putting it into practice. You will make mistakes. Hallelujah. You what? That's why you need a teacher. Or better still, that's why you need a mentor. Say, if you say, I need a mentor. It's like you want to learn a musical instrument. Forget about anything that says, don't worry, in 2 weeks, you'll be playing all this. No, forget it. You need what? a teacher or a mentor. Because the issue is practice. Yeah, they are the ones that can spot the mistake.
I say, no, can you repeat that one? And you know, if you are the one mentoring yourself, you won't repeat it. You say it's okay. They are the ones that come and say, no, that bit is not okay. You felt it was okay, but they are your mentor. They say, no, can we go over that part? And sometimes you are feeling frustrated. But if you give up at that moment, you will not be trained. You'll be half-baked. Half-baked work. Half-baked seamstress. You didn't master the butterfly, is that a butterfly stitch? Yeah, oh, there is. Yeah, because you could not take the correction. You'll be half-baked. So you say, I need a mentor. A mentor, they train you. And one of the key elements of training is correction. Loving correction, please understand me. Loving correction. You see, rebuke is advanced correction. Rebuke is that they've been correcting you gentle, but you refuse to listen. So they have to shout. Stop! Like Shrek. Amen. We are rounding up gradually now. Is that all? Is there any other thing in that list? It's probably for doctrine. It's probably for reproof. It's probably for correction. What's the other one? For what?
For instruction in righteousness.
Now, what is the overall goal of we're looking at the girdle of truth. This is why we're looking at this. I'm showing you truth, how it works. Yeah? If you want to be firmed up, yeah? With maximum agility spiritually against the enemy, yeah? Not tripping yourself up. You need truth. You need to be guided up in truth. And that comes through doctrine. It comes through reproof. It comes through correction. And finally, to what? Through instruction. Now, read verse 17. What is the overall, when you go through this, can you just read that in New Living? 17. When you go, just read 16 and 17 again. When you go through the whole process.
All scripture is inspired by God. Yes. And is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives.
Yep.
It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Hallelujah. So what is the overall goal of that scripture in your life? Is to prepare. Did you see that word prepare? You know, like gird up your loins. Prepare. God uses to prepare and equip his people. For what? For every good work. You know, the Bible says, do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. But you will not be able to overcome evil with good without truth. Or without going through the process where you allow scripture. I have to open my life up to scripture and allow it to correct me, instruct me, reprove me. Yeah? I'm rounding up gradually. In a few minutes, we'll be done. Let me see what the time is. Yes, a few minutes. Maybe three. Please, I don't want you to miss this. Open your Bible again to 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's read it again from the King James or New King James Version. One more time. Anybody would like to read? 2 Timothy 3:16, King James Version. Just one more time. One more time today. 2 Timothy 3:16, King James Version. Who? Yes, thank you. Please, just, if you don't have a page, just pay attention. I want to show you something important there. And then we now pack it up and we're going to prayer.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen. That's how, so that 17 shows you how truth overcomes evil. You are prepared. You are thoroughly equipped for every good work. But the point I want to show you is 16. The way it's written in 16, yeah, is in reverse order. When the word of God comes to you and you open your hand, the first thing he gives you is instruction. Because that's what the teacher will first give you. Instruction. Yeah? As you open up yourself to be mentored, you will get what? Correction. Yeah? As you continue that journey of being mentored, sometimes you will get what? Rebuke. Yeah? They are all there to establish you in truth. Now, so when you give yourself to instruction and correction and rebuke, you will be established in doctrine. You will never be established in doctrine if you have not gone through instruction, correction, and rebuke. It's a continuous process. Yeah? A good teacher will instruct you more than they correct you. Because they're not trying to, you know, trap you. They will have told you don't do that before they tell you that. Why did you do that? If I tell you why did you do that and I've not told you that you shouldn't do that, then I'm not a good teacher. Yeah? So a good teacher will give you many instructions, fewer corrections, much fewer rebuke, and they will continue to do it and work with you over time, until you are established in sound doctrine. Now you are guided up in truth. And you are prepared or equipped for every good work. Let's rise up and pray to God. So I understand today, just from what we shared, that to overcome the enemy, my starting point is truth. It is the truth that makes me free. The truth comes through scripture. Engaging with scripture. You engage with scripture in church. You engage with scripture in Bible study. You engage with scripture in discipleship course. You engage in scripture in all other types of fellowship with believers. Some believers, they like to argue against the Bible. You are using worldly thinking. Bible says you should not be conformed to what? It doesn't, you know, with God, it doesn't matter if 90% of people in the world are doing something wrong. God will not change his word for them. The nature of truth is that truth never changes. If it changed, it was not truth. Hello? You say, I'm the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. I'm the Lord, I change. No. If a truth changed, it was not truth. So, God is not worried. If the whole world voted today and said Jesus Christ did not rise from death, it doesn't change God's truth. If the whole world voted today and 99% said, you know what, you cannot get to heaven by believing in Christ, it doesn't change God's truth. Hallelujah. You don't negotiate truth. You open up to truth. You let it invade you. You let it instruct you, correct you, rebuke you. Then until you are establishing doctrine. Now you are prepared unto every good. So talk to God today and say, Lord, I embrace truth. You know, the worst thing that you can do to yourself is to deceive yourself. And the next worst thing you can do is to deceive others.